we've dealt with this last year and some of our accomplishments.
Can I just say something on the theme? I really appreciate the graphics, but somehow the theme from Deliverance came up.
That's only for people old enough to remember.
I don't know. All I heard was that an unknown. Those were canoes, Jerry, not the house.
Okay? Yeah, I got together in the
what
round.
What part of the movie were you focusing on? Okay.
We're thinking Turning Waters. The person that put this together, by the way, retired last Friday.
Yeah, I can understand why.
But they're beautiful.
No, I'm just kidding.
What happened?
Yeah, she retired.
This goes along with the recruitment and staff training, and you'll see the general theme is here is we've done a lot of recruiting. We've done a lot of re-recruiting, because sometimes when we get people trained, they go to another county, and our specific example, and the administrator over there gives me bad time all the time, lower position job, higher salary. So we are losing people that we train, whether it's to Central San or other retirement systems. So you'll see there's some processes here where we're recruiting people. This last year has been a lot of work with PEPRA, in implementing it into CPAS, the Member Services Division, and benefits, working very hard to get that done on top of legal. And then what has happened, just so you know, with our electronic reporting, is on top of PEPRA and all the questions with that and all the pay item analysis, now our employers are saying, oh, well, we want this group to have a 2% COLA, but this group had a 3% COLA for 1 year. And it's now gone down, including the subvention, to bargaining unit, which is not how we used to operate here. So it has become so labor intensive to try to have a system to be able to do this. I'm almost ready to say, let's just do it manually.
Can we draw the line in the sand and say, these are your options?
No.
We can't.
We administer.
Make them up.
They make the right. Employers all, every district has the right to do their benefits.
Right.
We administer. Right. So
we could have a gazillion. Have to accommodate.
We can charge them for our administration of their benefit structure, can we not?
That, it's in the administrative budget. That's how we charge back, so that's fine. So we are working on the electronic imports, the CPAS system. Remember, PEPRA has also changed our new hire process with reciprocity between the systems, too, determining who isn't right. A member. December last year, we had a huge amount of retirements, close to 200 compared to our normal, I believe, 30 in December, and that was because of AB 197 coming into effect. We had trained a disability counselor part-time to give our current one backup, and she's the one that left to go to another county. So we are now training another disability counselor and hoping that people will stay.
Can I, out of curiosity, can I ask what county benefited from our training?
San Mateo.
And what's the pay disparity?
It was a lower-level position that paid more. That's all I really know at this point.
Their salaries are more flattened in San Mateo. You know, you know what I mean? They have a middle bar that's just huge.
And now, granted, we may have lost her anyway because her husband was commuting to San Mateo.
Well, that's, yeah. I mean,
there always are other things.
But, yeah. Circumstances.
But, you know, it was that's kind of what was thrown back at me from the other CEO. We got your person and she's in a lower-level job and we're paying her more. What's wrong over there? So
I wouldn't brag about that if I were them.
We are training disability counselors in February of this year because we've had the benefits manager position vacant and had two of our coordinators working out of class. We did a rotation with some of our counselors through the benefits coordinator position to give them some experience in that, and I think it was very beneficial for everybody.
Will you be hiring the benefits manager position this year?
We are currently in the recruitment process. For the Board of Retirement, we, as you know, went through the process of making some software changes and recording meetings, changing our minutes. We came and did a mission statement this year, developed a new letterhead. We're now in a process, and Kurt, I think we're getting pretty close. We're revamping all of our forms to standardize them, number them, make sure they all have legal review. We still have forms out there that are probably 25 years old. But everybody likes them because that's the way they've seen them for years, but we really need to come up to speed here, standardize them. That was one of the reasons for the redesign of the logo, to have something bold that can show immediately at the top of the paper. Human Resources, we have this last year, we did a recruitment for a compliance officer and successfully hired a very qualified individual. We did the recruitment for the Admin Services HR Coordinator, and that has not yet been completed. IT Coordinator was completed. Accounting was completed. Two Senior Member Data Services Specialists, a Member Services Data Specialist, and five Retirement Counselors. And this is done with one person pretty much overseeing the HR position, because we haven't filled the other one. We also have worked with Anderson and Associates on the total comp study. The salary committee knows we're still working with them. We will have a meeting with them probably the first week in January to finalize. Hopefully the committee can come together and finalize a recommendation if there is one. We also did, because we take over property, we don't do the property manage it, we are the liaison with them. You saw all the new carpets, all the new furniture, baseboard was done in all the common areas, but that took a lot of our staff's time also. Additional copiers. We go to the IT division. We have the hot site set up in San Diego. It is live. We've even tested it through a VPN, which means that somebody from a home site through a wireless or another connection can go in, and it goes through the county down to, and so if the county were down, it would go through their backup down to San Diego, and it has been tested. We're going to continue to work on that this next year. The main item that's down there is the CPAS system, because retiree checks are number one for disaster recovery. We will also put imaging down there, make sure we have everything else backed up down there.
When do you perceive that all we will have to do is push a button, it'll all go? It'll
never.
All you'll never see. If we have a disaster up here, San Diego, they couldn't supplement our checks in.
No, there would have to be some staff training. So it will never be somebody just push a button. We would have to train their staff. That's also the next step this next year. They're not quite live yet, so they haven't been running payrolls.
So we are it's still going to take us one more year before we'll have full disaster recovery for both systems.
They haven't given us any dates about when they're going to set up yet, so it depends totally on when they go live and when they know how to run payrolls. We are live with ours, which means if something happened to this building and I were in Modesto, or I took my payroll person to Modesto, they can run a payroll from there. We can create the file that goes to the bank. We can also, we have a check printer.
I just keep remembering the horror stories of New Orleans when they got flooded.
Just for a brief review, we have a cold site down at SunGuard in San Ramon. And we have a check printer. We have stock in a storage area close to there. So if something happens here, we go there, we print checks. We can also run, you don't have to be in San Diego to run a payroll. We can run a payroll somewhere else. We have a printer there. We have stock there. Okay. All of that is there ready to go.
Okay.
And creating the file for the bank is an electronic file, so it's a little bit different.
You have to understand the limitations of hot sites. Unless any organization is willing to have a mirror image of its facility someplace else with all the people just sitting there waiting.
With staff, too.
There's no such time when you're going to have a flipped switch, and it's just going to continue going the way it was before.
Now
somebody has to run that. You're talking about maintaining data, maintaining the capability of doing it, but somebody's going to have to do it.
The switch that is a flip switch is 15 minutes. Every 15 minutes, the FTP process, Will will tell me if I'm wrong on the terms here, updates. So we have a live update going, so we won't have to worry about that. So on top of that, you know, we back up our system here. Will was asking me this, too. Our system's all backed up here, the imaging, the email, the CPAS system, and I believe it's weekly taken to underground storage. So we have that backup, too.
So we don't have a hot site that's located in a city that's next to a lake that's got earthen dikes, right? Well, the city's below sea level.
God, everything's out in California.
We don't have anything out in California.
You know what I mean? Iowa's where the hot site needs to be.
Thank you for that.
It's in Atlantis. Hopefully that would make you feel right.
Is the CPAS the new system?
Yes.
Okay, so has all the data from the old been transferred over to...
No, they're still working on that, and PEPRA actually delayed quite a bit of that because all the different contribution rates tiers, different rates for every COLA, for every subvention level, there. But they still are working forward on that. And it's looking better.
Good.
Yes, slowly. So we have, because we have a programmer analyst on staff now, we're not doing as much with CPAS on the Cognos. That was a different reporting style. We're using Crystal. Our programmer analyst is doing a great job with queries for public records requests, everything else. Legal division accomplishments. This one I'm going to let you read. The board has been aware of everything that's going on. As you know, we have been very, very busy this past year. And I would say the one bullet point that I'd like to point out, it was months and months of working on pay items with our deputy CEO, a very in-depth analysis on all of that. And then we ended up using base pay for paper. So. Investment accomplishments. This was another page. This is page 9. This was a huge, huge year. 2012 was Tim's first year here, and it was a partial year. His full year here in 2013, outrageously busy. And I think what's happening is we have even more to do. It goes on and on. So on page 2013, on page 9, I'd like you to review all the work that was done this last year by investments. And I think it very much supports the fact that we are going to need at least another investment analyst, one to start this next year. And with accounting, it was just a truly successful year for them, getting a clean audit, another CAFR award from the GFOA, PPCC award. Everything is going smoothly over there. There will be continued GASB requirements going forward that we will be working with Brown on Armstrong on education.
Vicki, I'll let you know, I'm still reading your CAPRA, and I'm going through it page by page, piece by piece, because it gives me a lot of information to give retirees. And I've done it with everyone that's come out. But it's taken me a little longer this year to get into it and get going because I've had so many other things going on. But I still like that report. I still think you guys do a wonderful job with that report. And next to Milliman and that, those are the two things that I really focus on when I do my stuff. So thank you for that.
Well, and that brings up another point. Our communications person that does it is now gone. And it may be that I may come back to the board in January and say, look, I don't have anybody, and it's going to take a while to do recruitment. I may need to bring her back as a part-timer.
Yeah, yeah.
But it'll come back to the board to work on the CAFR project.
Marilyn, this is for Scott's benefit. What does GFOA stand for?
Government Finance Officers Association.
There you go.
Yeah.
Say that again. Government Finance Officers Association.
Thank you.
GFOA.
Communications division, and I no longer have a communications division. Have I said that already?
Are we going to have? I mean, I think it's important. Are you going?
Absolutely.
When you said you're going to bring her back, you are going to be recruiting.
We are going to recruit for the position, yes. And actually, there's two positions in there. We are going to be shifting a little bit. I should let you know this is the accomplishment still, but our goal is that position is now vacant. We are going to be shifting and hiring probably an outside consultant to redevelop the website in more of a template fashion so it's easier for uploading agendas and some of that. So we're going to separate that off the job. We may, though, once we're done, need one person for this position rather than the two we currently have budgeted if we switch that around. So you've got the communication division accomplishments. Every newsletter that comes out of here, the PAFR, the CAFR, the budget has been put together by that division. The statistics report is on 13. And you can see that some items have slowed down slightly. If you go to the far right column is the most current, and that's for half of the year. So the estimates as of June 30 were down slightly, probably because we had such a slew of people going out in December. I didn't see anything on there that was a worry. You can see one thing halfway down the page. You'll see.
Have we no longer got any Tier 1 retirees? Oh, that's conversionist. Never mind.
Yes, conversion. Yeah. And if you go halfway down the page to pre-tax purchase contracts, you can see that that is consistent with our policy to stop the allowability of pre-tax purchases. That was something that our tax council said we should no longer be doing, and we stopped those.
We stopped making new ones.
Yes.
Okay,
that
so
does
the existing ones will run out.
They were allowed to run out, yes. Okay. So that's just statistical information. If you ever have somebody say, God, how many estimates did they do a year? This is a good place to look. The next page just shows the total number of beneficiaries.
Can I ask a question? Just so I understand, at the top of the page, I understand inactive vested, but vested safety is, and I understand vested general and vested safety. What is non-vested general? Is that someone who just hasn't been here long enough but is employed?
Yes.
Or would you throw in that number like temps and things who hold jobs but aren't ever going to be permanent?
Nobody's here. I'll check on that. It would not be temps. These are actual members who are non-vested, but it could be deferred non-vested also. So it could be active and deferred non-vested general members. That means they haven't been here 5 years.
They're going to become, our expectation is they will become vested.
It could include some terminated non-vested,
that's
too.
What?
So not all of them, but most of them should become vested in the future, yes.
What does a Tier 3 conversion mean? I mean, that's our, what can they convert
the old
to?
You've converted Tier 2 time to Tier 3.
Oh, okay. It's from a lower or
yes.
another two.
Yes.
That's
yes.
what you mean by that. Okay, I couldn't figure. Thank you.
Any more questions on page 14?
Marilyn, just to confirm, retirees, beneficiaries, inactive, vested are not currently employed. All the others, non-vested general, vested general, vested safety, non-vested, are all current employees.
The one I would have to look at is I would bet that there are some non-vested deferred members with their money still there who have not taken refunds and not rolled it over. And so those numbers would be in the non-vested general and non-vested safety.
So there would not be in the inactive vested.
No, because those are vested. I'm thinking there are some inactive non-vesteds that are rolled. There are very few because most of the people that are inactive roll their money over to an IRA or take the refund.
Purely leaving their money in.
Yes.
Okay. They could be working for another county.
There's more.
They could have reciprocity.
In other words, they're vested here. Oh, yeah. And it's inactive because they're not here, but they're over in Alameda.
Then there is.
I think we have one of those.
No, inactive vested. We could have inactive non-vested who also have reciprocity and leave their money here.
Could be, yeah.
Okay. Once we raise our salaries.
I know.
Well, wait. If you had reciprocity coming, because you're vested.
Your money.
You'd be vested.
We wouldn't know.
May not be yet.
No. Let's say you're vested here, and a person's vested here, and they go to San Mateo County. They're vested there.
Oh, they're vested, right.
Because we wouldn't know. If they were here for 2 years and they left and went somewhere else, our system wouldn't show them vested.
Right. Okay.
Our system would show 2 years. So, on page 15, you can see how the assets have grown. 2002 is not on the chart, but that was the year
that... Not speak too loud. Last time we went there.
No, I'm just saying. I started in 2002, and I wanted to point out that 2002 assets were more about $2.5 billion.
Yeah.
Right.
So...
look what you've done.
Sorry. Yeah, that's all me.
Just one question. We hold it CCERA net assets. So what are we implying by that?
By net assets. This is straight from the...
What is net assets?
It's not less liabilities.
I mean, I didn't know we had gross assets and net assets, but...
Now we call it net position, but it's just...
Is what?
But not pension liabilities, though.
So, like, a liability meaning like a bill that hasn't come in? Like a manager's fees
that haven't been met? Or trades that haven't settled.
That, mm-hmm. Or trades haven't settled?
Yes, things like that. Investment related.
It's not like we owe money to somebody, like on a mortgage, or we're looking at a net.
No, but we might owe it on a copy machine or something, but no mortgages. There is, because the accounting department is run on an accrual basis, so at the end of the year, that's what they're looking at when they say net assets. They take their current, tell me if I'm, this is very general accounting, market value of assets, minus any liabilities. Liabilities in this case will be accounts payable, including investment fees that haven't been paid yet, copy machine rentals, salaries, whatever else we have. So this is actually taken directly from the capper. The next page is just a generalized organization chart. You'll see a more detailed one in our CAFR. And then we go into the organizational strategies for 2014. So our strategies for this year, number one, I think, is try to keep up with everything. We are continuing to work in IT. We do need another person in IT. because of the both the disaster recovery and trying to get going that, we now have audio recording, we have iPads, we have more employees, more desktops, more systems. We do need, and we are requesting an additional IT coordinator position.
What would that actual...
Is that the title?
Is that a programmer,
it's an
analyst?
IT coordinator one. We bring them in as a one. Oh. IT coordinator. That's what we call our position. Retirement.
What we call it. I'm thinking about what they do. The county runs programmer analyst, I think. Mm-hmm. And then they just run analyst. So is this person have a big range of skills, or is it just going to be a narrow?
This is going to be server and network support, database administration, business continuity implementation, which is the disaster recovery. They are going to be, they also monitor all of our telephone systems are back there, audiovisual systems.
Will they be supervising people?
No, they will not. This is a represented by Local 21 position.
Okay.
It's our lowest level. We bring them in at the lowest IT coordinator level
right.
position.
I'm just, those IT folks talk a big deal about having programming experience. That's what they do. And I'm just.
One is not programming.
Yeah, see.
This is more desktop support, network support, making sure somebody is always here to do the backups, which are so important here.
I had a question on the org chart.
Sure.
We kind of went past it, but I didn't want to interrupt your flow. But in our construct, the general counsel reports to you and not to the board, right? As shown on here.
Correct.
So. The fiduciary counsel, though,
reports to the board. Correct.
And the chief investment officer reports to you.
Correct.
But does not report to the board.
Correct.
Let me ask Harvey a question. Is the reporting line, taking the legal side out of it for the moment, on the investment side, if you can answer this, is the construct of the CIO reporting to the CEO versus the board typical or no?
Very typical, more typical than not among the county systems. I'd say the vast majority of the CIOs report through this to the CEO directly, and the CEO is responsible for the CIO. I think I know of maybe two systems that I know of have the CIO reporting to the board.
Does the law allow that?
LA might be one where the CIO would.
Well, because they have an investment
report to the
committee.
Right. They have an investment committee, right?
The other, which is sort of, Orange County has gone to an investment committee of the board, so they essentially have split their administrative meetings, monthly meetings, from their investment monthly meeting, so the whole board meets as an investment committee of the whole.
Got it.
And Gerard, do you know Tim? I'm just trying to remember if Gerard, because of that structure, their chief investment officer reports to that investment committee, but it's the whole board.
Didn't one county contract out their CIO?
San Diego.
And then that would be... certainly someone who would report to the board.
To Lee Partridge's firm.
But it was...
And that's a direct report.
Yeah,
that's different because that's an outsourced CIO structure. It's not a staff member. But the vast majority have the CIO as a staff member, on staff reporting to the CEO directly.
I was just thinking about the fiduciary obligation and the layers, as you referred to it earlier, albeit different layers, but we have several here. It looks to me like we have some attenuation between the ultimate investment and the board. I can see at least three, right? and then this is for Marilyn or Karen, I guess, the council's reporting to the CEO versus the board. Is that typical or atypical?
Also extremely typical. Mm-hmm. Yeah, general counsel always reports to the CEO.
City manager form of government, would you call that? What's the typical construct? It has a name.
Uh,
the type of governance. Because, I mean, there are organizations where the lawyer reports directly to the entity board or the council, as the case may be, as opposed to the...
That's why we have...
No, you're right. Most local governments, the council reports directly to the elected body. But I can see where the general counsel here, because I sort of see it as divided out. The general counsel is doing the work of the administrative work, if you will, those legal types of things, whereas Harvey, you report directly to the board, so that's where we're protected on the fiduciary end of it. So.
Yeah, and I was just asking
it's a good question
just
to raise,
because
I had the same question, but I don't have a problem with it, because it's not like cities and counties.
Okay. How much of the work does Karen do for us as opposed to for Maryland?
Well, that's, yeah, mostly.
It's pretty tough to draw those kind of day-to-day distinctions, because she is also advising through Maryland to the board. I'm advising staff and working with staff to present things to the board. I'm advising you directly. There's a fail-safe there that, you know, ultimately your outside fiduciary counsel is responsible ethically solely to the board. And so there are things that are imposed on me as fiduciary counsel that, you know, as a watchdog, essentially, even over staff on your behalf. So it's, you know, that's, so it's, but on a day-to-day basis, we are both fiduciaries to staff and the board.
The biggest distinction is probably that I work under Maryland's direction. So every item on my desk or in my inbox is something that Maryland either requested or has authorized me to work on, whereas Harvey has a direct relationship with the board.
Okay. I never call Harvey.
Yeah.
Thank you. I didn't mean to interrupt your flow. I just had that question.
Okay. Back to organizational, the accounting division, we have new GASB reporting requirements that are quite intense that will need to be implemented this next year. They will be incorporated into our CAFRs going forward. Because of this, we are asking for another accounting technician position, which is our lower level, kind of like an advanced accounting clerk. We filled this position with one last year and would like one more. Be sure that we've got some cross-training in that department. Administrative department, we, as I said, we were kind of in the middle of doing the admin services HR coordinator, but have not yet filled that. But again, with PEPRA, with continued training for board, with the volume of on-site visits and managers, and they take care of all of that, we do need another position there for additional filing to assist in legal and investments in imaging. And our admin manager has done a great job of cross-training. So we have the imaging department in the front, and everybody takes turns of all the positions, so they have rotating. But we would like one more position in that department, too. And this is actually one of our lowest level positions here. It's an entry position at Cicera, the office specialist. The investment division, we've talked about this before. As you saw from all the work last year, we definitely need some more assistance over on the investment side, and we are requesting another investment analyst position. Then the other position that we are requesting, and this again has to do with CPAS, our pension administration system, PEPRA, the levels of contribution changes. It has become so intense working on the system that I think it really needs a full-time position here, and that would be at the benefit coordinator level, but solely on CPAS to take care of any new programming issues, working with the employers on their files as needed, being the go-to person for any other problems in the systems, corrections, backfilling that needs to be done.
Marilyn, off the top of your head, do you know how many employees throughout our various employers have been hired this year? That are
hiring this year?
No, like in 2013, since PEPRA went into effect. I know how many the county has, but I'm just curious, because you're right. I mean,
see if we have new. That might be on the chart here. It is.
Oh, okay.
The new certs, that is,
that is okay.
A third of the way down, about 420 new ones coming in,
okay.
Which is actually looks like ahead of the average. there going up.
Well, and as the economy improves, and as you can, you're going to be hiring more, so more people will be hiring. I just was curious. Thank you.
You don't think the 200 at the call center affected that number?
But they all benefit.
Yeah. I was in a nominee go there.
Okay, I have also, the next section is the office environment, and I've discussed with the board the possibilities of taking on additional space in the building. One of them is fairly simple and not too expensive across the hall to increase for additional our assistant general counsel position, which we will be recruiting for shortly, and probably move compliance officer over to that side. We also talked about space in the back of the building that's currently unused, and we could expand back there for the server room. I'm trying to balance on this one whether it makes sense to update the server room we have and reconfigure it slightly and come up with storage elsewhere, or if it's a better move to go back there. So we have not made a final decision on that yet. So you'll see the costs in there for that. We are going to be recruiting for the assistant general counsel. I believe that's going to the Board of Supes either maybe yesterday to be, get the exempt status so we could go ahead and recruit for that.
And that person reports to?
Karen.
Karen.
Outside professional services, I'm going over this in more detail than I have in the past because I know we have new board members and it's important for you to know who we contract with. So in 2014, we used the Siegel Company. We still do benefit statements through them, and we use them for all actuarial services. Ice Miller for legal counsel. Milliman for investment planning. They also attend all on-site visits. They currently, or in the past, have performed our asset allocation studies, any RFPs, anything else investment-related. We have contracted with Milliman for an actuarial audit. I believe we have started that. We've worked with them to, okay, get that started. We work still with the Contra Costa County Department of IT for network integration. The way things run over here, we are not so independent that we have our own internet connection. Everything, there's a firewall at the county. We use internet through there. We have another firewall here. I'm hoping, you know, at some point I'd like to get a certified hacker and see if they can ever get into anything, but we feel that we're pretty secure. We use Reed Smith for board fiduciary counsel. Right now we use county counsel, Rebecca's here, for disability services. And CPAS is our benefit administration system. We still contract with them for maintenance of that system. Transwestern Property Management Services for building and leasing. And although we have it here, specialized outside counsel, the only other one I can think of that we have used is Jonathan Funk, who has worked on the building leases for years here. But that's the only other one I can think of. I also wanted to put in here, so everybody has a clear picture of it, the memberships that we currently are involved in. And that begins at the bottom of page 20. Everybody's heard about SACRS, and we tried to put their mission, their goals on here too. We are also a member of CalIPRS, and that is strictly California Public Retirement Systems, and their basic goal is education of staff, also allowing a forum for the different groups, the trustees, the investment officers, to have their round tables. We also belong to NCPRS. We belong to Council of Institutional Investors. We belong to IFEBP, which also provides education.
How many people have done EBP's course?
We've done the annual conferences.
Oh, the no, new they trustees. Have a trustees training course. There's a whole lot of.
Yeah, I have.
Have you done the new Dave's trustees?
Dave's done it. Yeah. Anybody else?
A long time ago. Yeah, I've done the advanced one, one session one time.
IFEBP. They have a
it's the huge one.
Yeah,
for rigorous. Their annual conference, they typically have a trustees
yes.
training.
Yeah.
Gabe, I think,
so
did
Gabe's
it
the only
sure.
one? All right, because I want to talk to somebody about whether or not.
Who runs, what's the other one we get certificates on?
CAP.
CAP program?
CAP, that's through CAP.
NCPRS does TEDS, too.
Okay, and CAP is through IFABP, too. Yeah, and
CAP.
I think
CAP's the most common. A lot of the board members have done the CAP.
Is that the one at Stanford?
No, it's a two-day.
That was CalIPRS.
Oh.
And you can take both. You can take the retirement and take the health.
No problem.
There's one and two, and you can take them together. And then you get a CAP. That's a
certificate.
Yeah, and a lot of
people. I think it's Public Plan Administration.
Yeah.
And then we belong to the Public Pension Financial Forum, which is our accounting group, and that has, it's a, I haven't been to these conferences, but it is for public pension plans and the financial side of it. And Vicki went this year, and she said the information was phenomenal. Good. We also belong to National Institute on Retirement Security. This is one that we joined a couple, they started it 2 or 3 years ago. It started out at about $1,000 a year. They do have a conference once a year. And part of your, and this, along with CII, Council of Institutional Investors, when you pay your fee, it also allows you to bring a certain number of people to the conference. They put on annually at no charge.
Is that a fee per board member or for?
It's a fee for the entire system. So NERS this next year is about $2,500. And that could, they have one conference that's an informational conference. They also have web pages and webinars. And that covers, I think, as many as we want going to their conference.
Are all these, their links available on our
Yeah. website? I don't know if the links are on our website, but they do all have web pages. I'll be glad to send those out.
And, yeah, I'm wondering, as a board, there was one place to go to find all these.
And you, but you, if you go, you want to get in where members, and all them, all the sites have a members section or a members access type of thing.
Maybe on the retirement board's page?
When we get a new outside consultant to do it. I'm adding it to my list right now.
You'll start getting a lot of emails when you do that, too, so be prepared.
Well,
they bring you up to dates and let you know what's going on.
Well,
and,
you can subscribe.
And NERS is probably going to go up. NERS is... was started and funded originally by, I think, NCPERS, CII, and I forget the other one. And I do know that they, like at the last CII meeting, their subsidy is coming down. In other words, they considered a startup, and they helped out. And I think NCPERS, I forget who the third one was that created the NERS.
I know the rates have gone up on that. It's, it used to be well,
They have to be self-sufficient in so many years or something is their goal.
You can say that IFEBP is the Wharton School.
The Wharton School is done through IFEBP, correct.
Oh, it is?
And so is the CAP program. So is the annual conference with the trustees training. We occasionally use IFEBP for staff training also. They have an investment training. But it's not, I see it as being more for staff on that one than at that level. So our summary for the strategies is on page 22, and there are five positions that I'm requesting this year. It sounds like a lot. I've had these talks internally, and at some point, I'm hoping we will get to that point. Now, the interesting thing is Alameda County has around the same number of assets. They do also administer health care, but I believe they're around 120 staff, and we're at 50. So
they're double plus.
Well,
I know
they're
gradually, they're not much bigger.
They used to be
asset-wise, they're
fine,
they not
a billion bigger. Dollars bigger.
Not now.
No.
They're less than $100 million. Bigger.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
We caught up.
Yeah. Or they fell back.
Tim's
we caught up.
How many fund managers do they
they're
have?
They're overstaffed.
Strategies?
No,
they're working on an analysis there.
I believe they have a broader number of managers. But that's kind of going from memory. I have to take a look.
And as far as members, active and retired, how many do they have?
I wouldn't know off the top of my head. I know their legal department alone is five.
Does anybody have, it's in the Sacrifice.
It's in the Sacrifice thing. It's also in the CalPERS annual.
If we're that close, that is impressive.
They're at 6.5. We're at 6.4.
They used
like
to be
that,
significantly
huh, Richard?
More.
Well, it takes a lot to impress you, too. That's pretty good.
Okay, so the five positions, the office environment, we are still looking at remodeling the office entrance. And taking over...
With the fireplace?
Officially. No, that's the whole building entrance. We're talking about the office. That's a different discussion.
So we need that fireplace right about now.
Today.
So if they were talking about a lookalike that didn't really work. Okay, and we're talking about square footage. We have a tenant across the hall that is willing to work with us to give back part of the space so we can increase the legal side for legal compliance and investments over there. And the additional space at the end of member services, which would create a new server room. If we do that and don't upgrade our server room, I'd like to look at, and we talked about this before, enlarging the kitchen lunchroom area. That's not crucial. And it's not at the top of my list. Next year, we are, this is, depends on the board, and if the board would like to go there, possible release of an RFP for an investment consultant, possible release, we've had this discussion before, of a separate RFP for alternatives investment consultant. Nothing being suggested at this point, we just know that those possibilities. And then we hope to complete the final stages of disaster recovery, which may mean going down and training San Diego. This next year, we've got three board positions that are up for reelection, and new appointments for three board members.
So, which ones are those?
Who's up for reelection this next
Mine
year?
Mine is out.
Okay.
Reelection.
So you have safety in general.
For your appointment. Yeah, the appointed part.
John, Deborah, and Jerry.
Okay. And then the three are Richard.
And the, both safety positions.
Both safety.
I believe the Board of Supervisors as well. Yours is up, I believe, as well, according to the website.
It could be. And I'm doing the board chair ones right now, so I'll be reappointing myself.
Running unopposed, are you?
You like this, huh? Okay. It's good to be queen. After an internal discussion.
You need to...
We want a panel on that. The only person on the search committee.
It takes a while to get up to speed.
Yeah. And my other, really does.
Well, John obviously is out of the running just because he's got so much else on his plate. But everybody has the capacity. Anyway.
So it's interesting. You like it.
No, no, he's now state president of the California
of
State
air.
Association of Counties, and he's on.
He's got another one.
He's the on the state air board.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm having to pull him back a little.
So for the next year, HR is, of course, going to be very busy with recruiting and hiring. They also provide training for staff on emergency plan, injury, illness, and protection plan. I thought that should be prevention plan. Sexual harassment training, they're on top of us all the time to make sure that we get that when we need it. We hopefully also will be reviewing, if we can staff up and get going here, continue a review of the current positions to make sure the titles are right and the path is right on those positions. In administration, we're just continuing to support the other staff as needed, going forward and update procedure manuals. IT, we're talking about, it worries me when we say improve computer and network security because I think we're pretty secure. I need to ask about that. The possibilities of relocating a data center. Just typically so you know, we replace a third of our desktop computers here every year, and that is worked into the budget, so on a rotating basis. Our servers, typical life expectancy, Will, is how long on a server? It's about
three to seven, around five.
Yeah, I'm thinking that we've had issues with 3 to 5 year range, all of a sudden needing to replace servers, so we do have that in the budget to replace a certain amount every year.
Is the cloud an option?
I am ultra conservative as far as putting anything anywhere that can be hacked. Until I've heard that the cloud has not had any issues ever, I don't know. We have another IT person here. We don't have a member web page. And, of course, we use for our internet connection. I was telling Will this the other day. We use SBC right now, or AT&T, to host the internet website. We don't have any connections going back into our system. I know I'm ultra conservative on that. There are systems that put in a member web. I don't have the staff to do personal identification numbers for people to sign into their own. And I think it's too easy to use something like Social Security, birth date, whatever. And by putting it out there, you risk somebody being able to get into somebody else's information. We don't have that. What I would like to work on going forward still is a calculator, but now it's gotten so difficult because what's your COLA? What's your... It still is on our mind. I don't want you to think it isn't. But anyway, we don't host here. We host outside, so that way there is no connection going in. I have concerns about the cloud still. I have concerns about putting anything confidential in Dropbox. And I don't know if that's just me, or it really is a secure world out there now.
So are you looking where a member can sign up with an ID, look at their balance, all this sort of thing?
Some systems have that, yes.
Yeah.
I will let you know that the board does put confidential things into Dropbox, and we have not had a problem.
Okay.
We do?
No, the Board of Supervisors. Yeah, the County Board of Supervisors. I just wanted to let you know that because I just asked Marilyn that based on something else here. We've not had a problem, but so I just wanted to share that.
I've heard of problems. He's nodding. Yes, there are occasional problems.
Security is always
an issue. Dropbox has issues. There may be other systems out there that are more secure, but honestly, I'm not going to be the first one to try.
But you have to have a password, but I guess that could...
Well, I mean, I could take any one of your iPads right now, and if you have to enforce that there's a password on the device, which I can probably guess not everyone has that, you know, that's on...
It's kind of policy if you have...
On Dropbox, if I open it up, I can go to any of my files. If the clerk of the board has put something in there confidential, I cannot open it unless I have that password.
So they're putting a password in the PDF, encrypting the PDF.
Right, for the confidential...
Does that make it...
That's better.
Okay, it's better. We'll look at that, too.
I think there's been some problems with funds, and it might have been about using iCloud, but not locally. These are like, there's some issues about, some people have been hacked, and...
It's not a place we want to go.
It's disastrous.
It's horrible.
When they hack, there's apparently a lot of information that is useful for other endeavors for those thieves.
Well, and then there's legal requirements on the system to notify absolutely everybody, and it's not a cheap thing, so...
I think Illinois...
Maria Teresa went through it last year.
No, I'm talking about serious, real serious stuff. You know, a professional thief type hacker.
Mm-hmm.
Not some kid just, you know, trying to do something. I think it was Illinois. I think they got nailed.
So we also will be upgrading the audio system in here for digital capabilities. We are looking at deploying SharePoint. This is something on Tim's project list. He really would like some sort of program where we can store everything, all investment manager contacts, all wires that go to them, their contracts, any emails back and forth at one local spot and be able to say, this is everything that's going on with this manager. Is that a good summary?
That's a good summary.
Okay.
Would that include, like, your personal files, too? You know what I mean? If you keep notes or something?
Yeah.
So, internal work product, basically.
Yeah, that's what I meant, internal work
product. Right now, it's not in one easy place, and we all may have different things this way. Everybody's emails, my emails back and forth with somebody on this would be in the same system. We need to upgrade our tape backup to a new storage type. And new servers and new software for IT. In benefits and member services, of course, we're still working on CPAS system going forward. We are now going through a project. The old subledger held beneficiary information that was fairly limited. It might have said all children. With CPAS, we have the capability of putting in names, social security numbers, all the information so that when a retired member, a death is reported to us, we have what we need. So they're going through a major project on that. Continuing to train counselors, active death forms, and continuing education to employee groups on PEPRA, and that seems to be changing all the time. Accounting division, their goals are very similar to last year's goals, to be successful and accurate in every endeavor. They've got quite a few things going on here, though. We will be using Brown Armstrong for another year. We use multi-view accounting system, and they'd like to start additional modules with that. At some point, we will be upgrading that system to a .NET capability also, which is their latest release. Their biggest project for next year is going to be GASB Statement 67. And we will be, as I said before, training with Brown Armstrong on that. Legal division has a list of goals for this next year. It is to continue to support the staff in just about everything we do and additional jobs for the boards.
I had a question on that item. Is there a function currently at the staff level that is, for lack of a better term, considered enforcement of the administration of the pension rules? That is, as we review retirements that come through, I think the QA, QC function, the quality assurance, is Kurt, right? If I got that right, at least by the org chart, it would be. That falls under benefits. But do we have a corollary of enforcing the you know, the rules, that is, from a legal perspective?
We don't have legal oversight of every single benefit that is produced. We have the processes in place. The pay items have been reviewed. Every counselor is trained on that. Now we have the compliance officer who started last month, and we'll be putting the processes in place to make sure that, I mean, that's going to be, I think, at that level. And
I think what he's talking about is under the compliance officer.
I think so, too.
Monitor the process to make sure compliance with all applicable statutes.
And I guess I'm at the next step, which is, what if it doesn't? Do we currently have an administrative construct that deals with active enforcement if our compliance officer, for instance, determines that one or more applications for retirement do not meet the guidelines, system guidelines?
The application or the actual calculation?
The actual calculation.
That's what we're putting together right now. He's brand new. We're working on this.
Okay.
If we find some that don't meet the guidelines, and we have in the past, if there are pay item types that come through that should not be included, we exclude them. I actually had a conversation with a member 2 months ago who wanted more than 12 months of one certain pay item put in there. And I said, even though that's illegal, you want me to do that? And he said, yes, I do. And I said, no.
So, and what was his reason?
In that particular case, he had a reason. In that particular case, I took it to counsel. I said, here's what he's asking. Here's our rules. And the answer came back, no, you can't do that. So we let him know that it was a very small dollar amount, and he wished that that went to the board. And I did not bring it to the board because it was a very small amount and obviously not within our parameters that we could.
Right. That's a pretty overt.
It was. It was a very interesting one.
I'm thinking more of the prior cases that we've discussed here and how we address them with current. I mean, I heard yesterday, we won't get into this today.
Here's how we address it now is we have a new policy where we check. Kurt, maybe you can briefly, without going into details, talk about the new policy because of Pepper we put in this last year.
Yeah, that's specific to pay spikes. We analyze each pay item and pay in total to see if there's any possible issue. And if there is a large increase in any single item or in total pay, then we analyze and investigate what it was to make sure it should be included.
And if it shouldn't be, those have come back to the board.
So who currently is charged in our staff with determining if there's been a fraud on the system and bringing it to our attention? Who is that individual? Or who are the individuals?
My interpretation has always been Kurt. And then he would take it to legal counsel if it became...
Well, I'm asking...
Okay,
I'm going through the org chart, so I'm going to follow the org chart and ask.
Okay.
Who's responsible for making that determination, flagging it, and bringing it to our attention?
It would go through Kurt, to Karen, and then, if necessary, to Harvey. If we find something that we feel is fraud, now this brings back to another discussion that our board wanted to have at some point, is what constitutes fraud.
Right, so I'm trying to get to I'm trying to go back through the system construct to understand where that determination would be made, who makes it. I mean, ultimately, I guess the board makes it.
Yes,
I would hope
it would be the board.
But there's an internal vetting process and a procedural aspect to this where determinations are made or not made, and those findings are then reported up to us. And I'm just trying to understand whose bailiwick does that fall in? I'm at a very fundamental level.
It starts with the retirement counselor doing the estimate, really the position before that, pulling the numbers together, going through the retirement counselor, going through the coordinator. The finals will be checked by the coordinator and the benefits manager. If there are outlying issues and it gets caught in the screen that Kurt's put into place, it goes to Kurt. If he has questions on it, it would go to Karen. Karen will deal with it. If Karen has issues, we will deal with Harvey. She'll bring it to my attention. We'll work with Harvey on it.
Okay. My quick reaction is it sounds complicated, but I'm thinking and hoping maybe that a compliance officer position removes some of that complication or...
It really isn't complicated. It's pretty standard. The calculations are done here, and then we have a series of checks on top of that.
You know, this brings me up to a suggestion that I had made to you a couple of days ago. I hadn't brought it up to the board. I mean, I think I did 2 weeks ago, that I think would be really good, that each of us, each board member should sit through an interview of a prospective retiree coming in and talking to a counselor and seeing how that process goes, and they get our counselors working with future retirees and the questions they ask, the way they ask things. I mean, I think it's a process that each of us should go through, that which would help us with questions like, you know, what Scott's already asked me. I always thought you could, but you got to break it back down. It starts with the counselor. So I don't know how the other board members feel, but boy, it's been 14 years since I sat through mine, and I'm ready to go back and sit through another one because so many changes have occurred. So I can find out at a basic level what goes on with our beneficiaries.
Well, we'd have to check with the resident city and
interviews, maybe have a presentation to the board as to what goes on in these interviews. Because unless you're going to find an individual who says, yeah, come on,
you have five people in here,
and I'll talk about my life and what I'm going to do.
The other thing we could do is we put on group counseling sessions. And we could do a brief group counseling session and at the same time talk about what would happen during an individual counseling session.
Yeah, I'm the only reason I raise this is not to delve into the sort of the golden book of how a person retires, although that's important, and I heard Jerry's comments and I'll take those to heart, that there's value in understanding the nuts and bolts of that. I guess I'm more talking about what I would call the police function of the board in terms of ensuring that the retirements that are processed are not the result of what I, in my judgment, might consider to be a fraud on the system, and we've discussed these at meetings, particularly the on-call abuse that I think is outrageous. I'm trying to understand, how do we perform the gatekeeper function? Seems to me we are the gatekeeper. We're the last stop before a retiree enters the system and begins receiving benefits, and I don't understand where our police function is. I don't understand what the top cop is. I don't know if we have one.
It also, I must say, depends on the outcome of the lawsuit.
Well, what I understand is I don't think it depends on the outcome of the lawsuit. In fact, I heard definitively yesterday from the court that it doesn't depend on the outcome of the lawsuit. I'll leave any further discussion to closed session, but that seems pretty clear to me. So I just, for 2014, I'm raising this because this is a 2014 goal, and I'm just putting this in play, that it's of interest to me in terms of how we govern the system and police it, what that enforcement function, that sort of police function is, and where it resides,
let's,
and how it's done.
Have we sent you that policy?
We did adopt a policy.
Yes.
But getting back to what you talked about, Marilyn, you know, not to take away from your role, I'm not trying to interfere there, but it would be helpful, at least from my perspective, to know the kind of challenge you got from this employee and what they were looking for. It helps inform where there could be abuses, or when we're out and about talking and people come up to us, you know, it's pretty clear it's only the last 12 months, and you told him it was illegal, but he had some, or she had some concept of why that shouldn't. I think that maybe it's just in a staff report, I don't know, but when you have those anomalies, it would be very helpful, I think, for us to know what those are.
Okay.
Again, not challenging your decision, just what came up and you know, so we're aware.
This was a different situation, but we can
just to take one step back. I agree with Scott. We do have a process in place, but we're not just looking for fraud. We're looking for any sort of anomaly, so any sort of anomaly that may, after further study, develop into possible fraud. But fraud's not the only thing we're guarding against. I mean, there could be miscoding. There could be miscertification or anything that is just negligent and without any sort of criminal type intent.
Right.
So
The review process includes all of those.
Yeah, and I call that QAQC, quality assurance, quality control. I put that in that basket because it strikes me that's what that is, and I hear you.
Right.
I'm just thinking that there are the other instances that we've been made aware of that don't fall into that category, right, that aren't in a QAQC filter necessarily, but they're the result of, you know, what I would term gaming of the system, and I don't know that we yet have a mechanism in place for that.
And you're right. I mean, there may be somebody two steps ahead of our review process as far as, okay, how to make numbers coming from the employer over here look like they're proper when they're not. I mean, so there's all kinds of possibilities out there. Harvey?
Yeah, there's a process that some systems have followed for specific purposes with the outside auditor, which is generally beyond the scope of their typical audit. Their annual audit, but it's generally referred to as an agreed upon procedures process where you can flag something such as misreporting, you know, the kind of things that we now have the tools going forward with PEPRA, but haven't really had in the past and have not had the auditors do. But there is a process that we could go to the auditors with and say, listen, we want you to do spot audits for specific things that we have concerns about, and these are the procedures, you know, to be followed, and we want you to report back on certain instances of what we consider, you know, what we're concerned about in terms of either fraud or misreporting or mischaracterization and that sort of thing, and bring that back to us. The outside auditors would be in the best position to run that kind of a procedure outside the processes we've now put in place administratively.
Interesting. Thank you.
Richard?
I actually kind of hear what Scott's saying in the sense of I think it would be nice if we had something more definitive in writing. Certainly if we're going to go outside, we're going to have to write something up asking them what to do. I believe compliance officer and PEPRA, that's all new. We've been in business over 50 years, and so we do have a system. How I view the system is it's there in place. I do know that when it's a significant issue, Maryland brings it to us, whether it's in dispute or not in dispute. But there's a lot of lower level issues that come up. And when I see, I'll get a phone call from a member who'll ask something, okay? And that's a part of the thing, because you do have a natural dispute. But I don't really know. When I have an issue like that, I call Maryland and bring it up. But I have no idea how many members might have had a dispute and either let it go or maybe take it to the outside.
They can always come here and ask for a hearing, too.
A lot don't know that, though. See, that's not totally clear. And in fact, I had called the other day about an issue where a member who has retired got a letter where we're having issues with the member who returned to work. We're having issues with tax status. I believe it was tax status. I called Kurt on this one. There's this check and balance coming in. We're kind of like a enforcement officer. What was done, and we put that out there, and the member was kind of at a loss. I kind of understood it, but there is something going on. I mean, it's not like it's blank. I just don't think we have it well qualified. I think, like, the counselors and everybody in the chain knows that if it's weird, you know, bring it to everybody's attention.
Right.
But it would be kind of nice if we had it laid out, and then I think we could take on Harvey's thing. If we know what we want done, then it's pretty easy to hire somebody on the outside to do it. You know, rather than just being vague and shopping around, it's, is it possible to put it?
Well, and going with Jerry's suggestion, perhaps instead of an individual sitting in on an individual thing, is if staff could compile make up, if you will, a case study or two or three with mm-hmm. different kinds of things, and we could have a study session about what our counselors. You know, this was a problem that came up to us and how we dealt with it. So, yeah, other than Jerry and Louie, none of us have gone through the retirement process here yet, and it would be helpful.
I'm not volunteering for you guys to sit in on mine.
That's why I'm saying a case study or two or three.
Good place to
start. I mean, yeah. I'm doing it right now, right? Boy, it would be nice if we could have somebody say okay, you know.
But anyway, for the staff to consider in the future, that would be helpful.
Okay. Investment decision division, we talked about goals.
I want to thank Scott for the question.
Yes, it
invoked a lot of discussion, and I think there needs some clarity in what he was presenting. And
I can tell he's not happy yet.
No, I'm pondering.
He's pondering. He's got his pondering face on.
I think it'll serve us again. We need clarity.
Chewing this thing good.
He's new. He gets to ponder for a long time.
Yeah.
As you can see,
no more 2 years. 18 months.
Maybe it's like 18
I already said that's getting old. Yeah.
Don't make me change my tune.
I haven't heard you invoke that yet.
Yeah, I'm trying not to.
Yeah.
You'll see the investment division's goals on page 28. We're still looking, and he's working with IT on possible solutions for an investment documentation management system. That was what I discussed a little bit earlier. There's going to be education provided to the board this year on a number of items, including maybe risk-based asset allocation approach, feasibility of using an overlay manager to assist with cash flow. If everything is on schedule and nothing else happens, we'll get most of these done. He will be reviewing the fixed income program and come back to the board with some recommendations on that. Continue to do the on-site visits. He also is spending time with outreach with other investment managers. Tim belongs to the Western Pension Conference, attends the CalPERS Investment Officers Roundtables, and does network with other managers.
He also attends SACRS Roundtable.
Yes, he does. And as other investment opportunities come up, of course, he is more than happy to bring them to the board. The communications division just continuing once we bring somebody into that position with the newsletters. Handbooks are currently online. I think we've completed the Pepper General member one, and we're working on the safety one. So once we get that position filled, we'll move forward with that. Page 30 is the important page as far as dollars goes. It talks about the section of California Code, and we are allowed to use 21 basis points or 21 hundredths of a percent of the total actuarial accrued liability. So we take that off the 12/31/12 statement. That amount is $7.7 billion. So it comes out to available per law $16,299,000.
Meryl, I have a question on that.
Yes.
So your proposed budget is the $9
billion. Yes, $9 million.
I'm sorry, $9 million. So there's the $6 million that's here. It says unallocated expense reserve. If the system did not spend that or did not need that, where does that then go? Does
it stays in the system. We cannot carry it over to another year.
No, and I appreciate that.
No, we just don't charge the system. Pretty much, we only.
I see. So it stays in like the
in the employer's general fund, or it's in the funds of the system.
Gotcha.
Never
Thank
comes
you.
Out. And we typically year to year are very much under budget. So starting on page 31, you have the actual numbers. The changes that you see are mostly due to requested increases in positions
for
the salaries and benefits.
I'm sorry, I was playing with my system here. The 30% increase is over the plan of hiring those new staff. This has nothing to do with
the That's just for, yes.
Yes, so it has nothing to do yet with the study that's coming out on a salary.
I have put a little bit in based on that study, but just in case, I hate to go back and change this later.
No.
I also incorporated, because this is the one thing that I can do in detail, for all of the represented positions who have not yet settled, I do have percentage increases in there for them also.
Well, and because this is my first year going through this, I noticed in going through this, there's executive/support staff in a variety, like this is salary and benefit, this is overall, and then you break it down by division.
It's actually executive support staff is IT. So our new IT position is in there, and that's what's increasing that one.
But that your position is in there, Karen's position is in there.
No, legal is separate.
Legal is separate. So, and Tim is under investment.
Tim is under investment.
But so Kurt would be under this one.
Kurt would be under this one. IT would be under that.
So IT, the and CEO, the deputy CEO.
And communications.
Okay.
Meryl, is your car allowance a fixed thing you get every month?
No.
Yes.
No. Why did it go down?
It's cool. It really, I just round it every year, so it's just a rounding issue.
Well, and I'm going to make a suggestion when we come to that later on, not here. We're going to be doing this with the board, is since it's pension compensable, which I learned through Maryland, I think we get rid of auto allowance and just roll it to straight salary, because I don't know why we break it out. It was an old construct that you gave, and at some future point, I just think that's...
Would it be affected by the IRS mileage route rate?
No, you still get...
You still get mileage.
So to me, this is just additional compensation. Why break it out, put it into salary and no more auto allowance? You still get mileage.
The only offset is I don't get any mileage for travel within the county.
Same year, yeah, for the board.
We do.
Yeah. You do?
You should.
No, none of us do.
You should.
Department heads do not. Yeah.
County? No.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
None of us do.
You get a reduced rate.
No, we get nothing.
Well, I'll tell you, I know that my thing is approved every month for all the constituent meetings and different meetings, not this meeting, but other meetings I go to. You might want to check into that. If they've been paying us wrong, but my understanding is they review my and all my colleagues every month, and we still get... Mile, you should check into that, Rusty.
Yeah, Rusty, yeah. I don't either.
So. Official business. Oh,
is that on the recording?
It would be official business, though.
Sounds like that's a spiking issue to me, Scott.
That's right.
Yeah, no. I only got official business. Any campaign stuff, I don't charge. Right. Mine or somebody else's, but.
Good idea.
Yeah.
What's the auditor's phone number?
Exactly. I mean, Elizabeth checks us every month. You should.
She does, eh?
Yeah.
One of the major changes on page 32, back to the numbers, is on, and I know this is minor, but on books and periodicals, I just wanted to explain that huge jump. We used to be get gratis subscriptions to pension and investments, and then they began charging us, and it's not a cheap, it's a pension investments magazine.
Yeah.
We used to get them for free. They stopped that a while ago, so that
do we have to pay for each one individually?
Yes, we do.
It's pricey.
It's 200 yeah. something per
yeah,
year.
Yeah, it's a pricey.
It's a great communication, man. They're never cheap.
It is a good
cheap.
Communication, but
I just go to the website, though.
Yeah. But you only get the web sign on if you subscribe.
Well, and the right. email service, too. I get the alerts.
I get the email service alerts, yeah.
So other than that, the other major increase is trustee fiduciary insurance, and I've already let the board know that our insurance did go up substantially this last year.
Meryl.
Everything else is about where it was.
Question on medical and dental on the benefits division. It's probably a small item, but how does it stay flat? You had no increase in medical, no increase in dental, no increase?
Oh, I said medical.
Because the employer doesn't pay a penny more for that.
That's right. Exactly.
I don't know.
With the benefits division, I don't think I've asked for any new positions in that department.
Right.
So it would be the same as it was last year. They have capped it for everybody.
But there are rate increases from the carriers.
And
right,
guess who,
but it's
and guess who
for
gets
the
it? The employee is paying for all of it.
Increase.
Yeah. That's kind of part of what we're doing to our employees here and why we're losing them, because it increased retirement contributions, the medical, especially for the those who are at a lower pay level, it's a huge hit to them. So they're more likely to look for a job elsewhere.
And this life insurance is the life insurance that's attached to everybody's health plan, and it doesn't change. Over in the other section, executive, that part, their life insurance is paid by the employer, or
you wouldn't
some
expect
of them are.
Much of a change in life anyway.
No, but I'm just saying is there's a cost that's going up. But these medical, dental, is the employer's cost has been frozen now for 3 years, I believe.
Okay, thank you.
Marilyn, going on page 45, it does say salaries and benefits, executive support staff. It says IT, investments, and legal. So IT is under that one then.
45?
Uh-huh.
There isn't a 45. It must be.
I'm confused.
Well, there is on my iPad. 37. I don't know what's going on with this thing. Page 37.
Let's go through a little bit more of the budget.
Oh,
first.
I'm sorry.
So,
I thought
well,
we were.
You can see that overall on this, there is, for the administrative budget for 2014, there's an 11% increase for the year. That is mostly the salaries.
Okay.
And then there's a pretty colored graph on page 34 that just breaks out our operating expenses. And then on page 35, we go into the IT investments and legal budget. And on page 36, this talks about the different sections of code that allow us to put these expenses directly against the fund rather than under the administrative expenses.
I see. So IT comes under...
There isn't, no, well, IT...
The administrative budget carries certain things, and then this is a separate...
The IT software and hardware is under here. They're also, just for full disclosure, the investments, there was, back when we first started doing this, we were a little bit in a tighter budget area than we are now. A percentage of my position and a percentage of the accounting manager's position are charged to the investment
group, too. That
makes sense.
Going back to what we said earlier with the potential... for salary adjustments in 2014, you said you put a small amount in, a percentage, 5%, 10%?
I put a small amount, and then I can always adjust that depending on the committee.
Was it by percentage? Could you tell us?
It depends on the position, because we had preliminary reports, and then, of course, all the represented folks.
And we'll go
folks.
Through that when we get to that issue.
One other thought, just in when doing this in the future, having a final line item down below total expense showing what total expense would be with no change in personnel. No change in personnel would show strictly what the increase was
without that.
Without the additions. You really can't tell by looking at this.
Right.
That, you know, what part applies to increase.
Or even putting it somewhere else in the budget, saying here would be the total amount. Okay.
Yep.
Got
it.
So we actually did not change much as far as operations for IT, investments, and legal. We stayed within our budget so far this year for on-site visits and all the travel there. Investment subscriptions, I don't think Tim has quite spent that yet this year. Our amount of IT consulting, I dropped slightly. So again, the major increase in this would be due to the new IT consultant position. Investment analyst position and the assistant general counsel, which would both fall under this. And then the last section, and this is another code of the 37 Act, where disaster recovery is also outside the administrative budget, and that's our very small budget, and it's actually gone down a little bit this year because we did get quite a few things done last year. Now, the important thing to note is even if we were to add everything together, we're still way under our 21 basis points, and I think that's a good thing.
Yep.
Is the disaster recovery, is that a defined term, disaster recovery? Is it?
I believe it is in the 37 Act. Do you remember how it is stated?
They don't use the term disaster recovery, but I don't remember the term that they use in the 37 Act.
Yeah, because sometimes there's a distinction
made.
What's
that catastrophic is the word they're using?
It could be, yeah.
It could be that, yeah.
Within the commercial industry, there tends to be a split. You know, disaster recovery, it sounds like a distinction without a difference, but it's sort of like getting the building evacuated, getting people out of the building, making sure there's nobody
continuity.
Left. And this is business recovery. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of...
Continuity.
It's business continuity, it's operational continuity, it's business recovery. Yeah.
Business recovery due to catastrophic event.
Well, it's true, but it's
no, but
just,
no,
just
I see
a thought.
What you're saying.
I think you could come up with a good acronym.
Catastrophic.
On page 39, the 2014 column doesn't add up.
I don't have
194. 134 plus 9,000 should be 143, and that gives you the...
What page are you on?
Last page.
Oh, I've got a different. You got
page
39.
Yeah.
What?
I have different numbers.
That's interesting.
Oh, you have
no
a chair,
way,
chairman's
really?
Copy.
I don't have
a
real number.
You don't have your last pages.
What page are you on?
I don't have. Okay,
and
you have the wrong one.
It says 9,000.
I have 37.
I apologize. These are here. Okay, you need the.
I have a 2014 total of 194,000.
Mine says 143,500.
Thank you.
That's what mine is too.
I don't have that.
Entry bookkeeper.
How did you get that?
I didn't get that page.
Are you sure? I think you
did. It's all right. I'm comfortable.
So it needs a no basis.
What's interesting is there's a 0% change in the staff, the first group, and there's a minus 10% change, but it comes out to a minus 9%.
Just numbers. When you take the total, it's...
No, I know, but shouldn't that still be minus 10% since there's a zero here?
No, because you're adding more dollars into it.
Okay.
Numerator and denominator change. What
number did you
get a difference?
Oh, no.
Yeah, what number did you have?
143.
Okay.
No. It's just yours.
I think I have two page 37 instead of a 39, but I have a question.
Okay.
On salaries here, on the overall budget,
yes,
the only salaries here are listed are those that are charged against the 21 basis points. If the salary is charged to investment returns, it doesn't appear in here.
No, if it's charged to investment returns, it will be on your page 37, which is
the one I
have. You have two of. And it's the IT investments and legal budget.
Okay, so
that will not go under the 21 basis points. This is charged directly against the fund.
It split it off.
All right, so when we have a total salary figure, maybe on one of these pages I don't have, that would include every salary this office pays?
No, you have to add the total on page 32, which is total salaries and benefits.
Okay, 32 plus.
And the total on page 37 for salaries and benefits.
So in the future, going with John, I'd suggest an additional page with sort of a recap of that.
Of total salaries.
Of what goes under the 21 basis points and what does not with the total.
Well, we
just okay. On a separate page where it's all in one
total picture. And admin budget, total legal budget, just for salaries. Is that what you're looking for?
Well, I'm looking for what he said. What goes, what gets charged against the 21 points and what doesn't get charged against 21 points. That's our total salary, but it's in one place. You don't have to go back and forth and back and forth.
You brought it up when you asked, what's our salary thing? $9 million, our budget in the dollars. And it's really greater than that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to get a picture because somebody could grab, oh, that office runs with 50 employees on mm-hmm. $9 million or something. And really, it's like $11 million.
Right.
It's mm-hmm. subtle distinction of like 20%, but it's cool.
But it also needs to be brought up so that the public sees that some of that is not charged right. to those 21, because that makes a, I think that's an important distinction. So it's good to spread it all out, but then if it could be a recap page
okay.
of right. stuff for the next year would be very helpful.
Yeah, the 21 basis points used to be everything.
No, I know. I
fall under that. It actually
it used to be
8 basis points.
But it was yeah. the fund assets rather than actuarial liability. And that changed.
Yeah, so we're.
So it's all coming out of the same pot, but the limitation is only placed on the administration.
That's fine. But that way we can explain it to.
And even if we add everything, we're still under, way under.
They're way under.
Hearing.
All right, motion to accept the annual budget report, the administrative budget report.
And to approve the requested.
And to approve the requested positions.
Second.
No seconds. Any comments, discussion?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Tensions?
Motion for a break.
We made it to 11:30. That's great.
And we haven't even done executive session.
I know. 10-minute break?
Yeah.